safely leads us on. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no good.
And I thank
God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, if it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me
where would this ship be? Everybody that lives about us says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. It's the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. From the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse,
tell me
where would this ship be?
This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast to be a blessing and a help to you. Now, I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you today. We thank you for just being so good to us, loving us, and caring for us, Lord. Thank you for sending your darling son, Lord, to come and live his life. Every step he took, every breath he took, Lord God, everything he done was for our sakes. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for allowing him to lay down his life, Lord, and he done it willingly. And God, we thank you that he took it up again. And Lord, we want to come today, and we sure do appreciate the time of the year that we're able to celebrate his birth. Lord, I'm so thankful that somehow, some way, you allowed the word of God to get to us, and it's a precious seed, and it brings forth good fruit, and we're thankful for that. Lord, and we do ask you to bless these listeners, do for them as only you can. Ask you to have your will and your way around here. We'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, I want to take just a few minutes and make a few announcements. First of all, I'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas. And I love this time of the year, how that we can celebrate the birth of our Savior. I enjoy the gifts and the giving and all of that, and being around the youngins and seeing their faces when they open up gifts and things. And I thought, as we come into the house of God on Sunday morning, and the Lord just showed up, and I thought, Lord, this is just the greatest gift that there ever is, which is to say Emmanuel, which is to be God with us. And I so appreciate that. And we just want to hope you have a wonderful Merry Christmas and things go really well. And as we head into the new year, we're looking forward to seeing what the Lord does. And we're just looking for big things from Him. And anyway, I'd like to also mention to you, I'd like to ask you to pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania, Bulgaria, and all the work going on in those countries, as well as the Ukraine. I ask you to pray for them. We'd greatly appreciate it. We thank you so much. And do want to ask you to write us this week. If you would, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we'll go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church. We trust it'll be a blessing.
When the world has turned you down, and a true friend can't be found, and though Satan tries to say your prayers are vain, when your load is hard to bear, and it seems there's none to care, you'll find relief when you kneel and call His name.
It's all right,
it's all right, through the storm He'll give me light. He will answer when upon His name I call.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right.
It's all right,
it's all right,
when I talk
with the Lord,
with the Lord,
when my steps are getting slow, and it's time for me to go, and my body bends beneath the tolling pain, when I cross O Jordan's tide, and I reach the other side, He'll be all right, for the Lord will call my name.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right, through the storm He'll give me light. He will answer when upon His name I call.
It's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right,
it's all right, I will never fear the night.
It's all right,
it's all right,
when I talk
with the Lord,
with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. It's all right. Whatever happened, it's all right. I mean, I thank God he's in control. And I do appreciate what God's doing. And these youngins down here praying for Sister Graybeal. I do want you to pray for her. God knows what, knows why that pain and sorrow comes. Thank God it's all right. Thank God it's all right. No matter what happens, it's all right. I mean, some of us go through some things we don't understand, but I know it's all right. But He wouldn't let us go through nothing if it wasn't. For some reason, God's got a reason for letting us go through whatever we go through with. I want you to turn to the book of Exodus today. And this is the reason it's all right. This is what makes it the way it is. The Bible said, and of course I know this is to Israel, but I want you to listen to it, and let's apply it to us today. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, I mean the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying. Now I mean, ain't you glad God can do it wherever you're at? I mean, there's in the land of Egypt, and there's in bondage, but God came by, and said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I mean, we're starting a new year just in a few days. In chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. I mean, you can make this, and when you got saved, it was a new beginning. I mean, if you've ever got saved, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I mean, that's the beginning of months. And you know how come it to be? There's the lamb slain. He told him to get a lamb, and I want you to keep him up 14 days. Check him out good. Well, I guarantee you they never found no blemish in him. They never found no spot. There's no guile found in his mouth. And he had kept up there for 14 days, and then they killed him. Then they put the blood on the doorpost of every house in Egypt that belonged to Israel. All of those Israelites put the blood on the doorpost. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the only thing that's going to get you through is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. When he sees the blood, that's all he's interested in. He's not interested in anything you can do because you can't do nothing. Only thing you do, take that blood and apply it. I mean, you take by faith, and they've never done this before. This is a new thing to them. You never got saved before either. That's a new thing for you, wasn't it? But boy, I tell you right now, it's a blessing. 59 years ago, I got saved. As soon be. I mean, Lord God, it's been wonderful. I don't know what he's done for me in all these many years that God has been with me. I mean, all I had to do is apply, get the blood applied. In fact, I didn't have to do anything. The lamb had done been slain when I come along. I mean, I'm glad God let Israel do that. I'm glad he let them do the services of God. But I'm glad I came in on the back end of this thing in the last days of this thing. Blood's all but ready been applied, and the blood's already been sprinkled around the mercy seat, and all I've got to do is come and accept him, and to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Ain't you glad that God so loved us? But I want to hurry and talk to you about some things that happened. I mean, this was a new year to them. It was the beginning of months to them. That could be to every one of you today. First thing that happened, they got saved out of bondage. I mean, there's in Egypt. Lord God, wouldn't it be good if a bunch of Baptists could get saved out of bondage today and get liberated and get free and find out that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, that your sins are all gone, that you're free, that you, I know you got sin in your body, and in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said, and it's sin that dwells in me. But he said, listen, there's something else in there. There's an inward man, and I'm glad Paul told us about that, and that's a part of you that got saved, and that part's never sinned since the day that it got born into the family of God. Ain't you glad that God one day saved you from sin? And the Bible said sin shall not have more dominion over you. That don't matter. It mean that you're not going to have sin in you, but it don't have to control you. I'm glad, praise God, there's something better than sin being inside of me that controls me. I'm glad the Bible said greater is he that's in you that's he that's in the world. I'm glad there's somebody inside of me greater than all the powers of hell and all the powers of Satan and all the powers of this world. Ain't you glad? And I mean, they got liberated from there. They crossed over the Red Sea a little later, and when they crossed that Red Sea, that's a type of getting saved from bondage, saved from sin. Red Sea's a type of salvation. But listen, they got across that sea, but they got in the wilderness. That's where most of the folks hang up. They get across, they don't know that they're delivered from the bondage that they're in. But listen, I want you to know that you are, whether you know it or not. They got across the Red Sea, and they got in the wilderness. And instead of them believing God and going with God, they just kept doing what they're already doing. They kept murmuring and complaining. But listen, down in Egypt, they never had a song. I thought of this last night when I studied this. I mean, over in Bulgaria and Romania, they've never had a song till they get saved. Then they wrote a song. They've wrote songs after songs, hundreds of them, since they've been saved, since 1991. Ain't it good that God gives you something when they get out of that place? They got out of there, and the Bible said that in verse 30 of chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, the Lord saved them that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw Egyptians dead upon the seashore. I mean, that day they saw the deliverance. They got saved out of the hand of the Egyptians. I mean, whether you know it or not, you're saved if you're you're saved today. The devil don't have any more grip on you. He comes by and scares you. He's as a roaring lion, but bless God, he still don't have no power. He don't have the power to do anything. He's already been defeated. And the Bible said that them Egyptians went to the bottom of the ocean, bottom of the Red Sea. The Bible said they went down like a rock. That's the way the devil done when Jesus died at Calvary. He defeated the devil, and he went down, son. He's already completely out of business. He just goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour and scurrying you, but he ain't going to get you. But the Bible said that Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. I'd like for you to see that. They saw the great work that the Lord done. We're looking at the great work we're doing. Honey, you ain't done nothing. God's done it all. You ought to be glad God's done it and God's doing it. And if anything's ever done, it'll be God. Oh, you say, but you have to live right. He didn't have to do nothing but do what God told him. Get up and get the lamb in you. Get up, put the blood on the doorpost, and then you eat that lamb. You'll get him on the inside of you, and then you get him on the inside of you. You take off. Because you're heading for another country. Thank God I got saved. God saved me that day. I headed out for another country. I had to cross the Red Sea. And I had to cross the River Jordan. I've already done that. But praise God, listen, I don't have to cross any more rivers. I'm glad I'm across. Listen, that River Jordan is a type of separation. It's death. It separates you from yourself. The river... the Red Sea separated you from bondage. But listen, them wilderness journey boys, they never crossed over. They're always in bondage to their self. They're always in trouble with their self. Murmuring, complaining all the time. But Lord God, if they'd have just known it, they'd have went over into the land of Canaan, and where the grapes and the honey and the milk and the honey and the grapes are big and all them good things. You see, Canaan's not heaven. Canaan's not heaven because ain't going to be no giants in heaven. Ain't going to be wars in heaven. Ain't going to be nothing up there. Canaan's a place down here where you can get, if you want to get, where God can bless you and you'll have more than you can tote. You can't carry what God will give you. You'll pass out on the journey. Just carrying the grapes would be more than most of us could handle. That took two men. Carry one pot of grapes. Cluster of grapes. That's what it says. Had to put a pole in between them. Now I'm pretty good size. Israel's getting back in their land, and they're getting some pretty good size stuff growing now. But they ain't ever got nothing like you had then. It'll get back there. Don't you worry about it. It'll probably be bigger than that. But here's what I want to get down to. Chapter 15. Now after they got out of bondage, they got them a song. And over in Bulgaria and Romania, they had never had a song till they got delivered. Boy, listen, when you get saved, you get a new song. Day I got saved, I never had to sing Amazing Grace in my life. I was something else. I sung everything else but that. And it made me feel fairly good. But you know, every song that I sung before I got saved was sad. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to just knock them out, but country music and bluegrass and the rest of it is sad. That'll make you feel good. Want to jump fences and does it? It makes you feel sort of lonely, sad. I like it pretty good, but boy, when you get to singing Amazing Grace, amen. There's something different about that singing, ain't there? So they got a new song, Moses, and here's old Moses, like Mel Tittle. He couldn't even sing. Talk. He couldn't talk. He stuttered. He said he did. And God had to get Aaron to go along with him so he could tell them Israelites. He'd have stood there all day and said, he couldn't have told it. But boy, when God delivered him, he got him a song, and Moses sung it.
Amen.
I mean, Aaron didn't sing. Moses sung the song. And they're going to, that's the only song recorded in heaven. The song of Moses is going to be sung in the book of Revelation. It says that.
Amen.
Yeah, they're going to sing the song of Moses. Ain't that something? They ain't going to sing one of these little jigs. And if you, let me read that song to you. I got to hurry because time's running on. Moses sang and the children of Israel this song. Unto the Lord. They singing to the Lord. They wasn't singing professionally. They were singing to the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath, and I like this, he hath triumphed gloriously. I mean, he hath triumphed gloriously. I mean, hey, are you listening? I don't like a song when it's got too many eyes in it. What I've done this, and I've done, oh Lord, I like them where it gives God all the glory, where it gives God all the praise, where it says God's done it. God triumphed. God done it. God saved. Jesus saves. And all them kind of good songs. I like them. But the Bible said he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. And I mean to tell you right now, Moses didn't get no credit for that. He didn't say, I done it. He just said, the Lord done that. I mean, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has got thrown into the sea. And listen what else it says about that. And the Bible said, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. Now that's all Moses had to say about I. I mean, he said, I'll tell you, the Lord's done the rest of it, and I'm going to let him have a place in my, I'm going to prepare him a habitation. Do you know what we ought to do every day? We come to the house of God, just what we've been doing this morning, enjoying God. I've been praying for the glory to get in this place, and I want to get in here so thick till everybody will shout when they come in. I hope they'll come through the doors of shouting and go out the doors of shouting. You say you just believe in shouting? I sure do. I believe in it. I believe you ought to exalt the Lord. I believe you ought to praise the Lord. I believe you ought to glorify the Lord. I believe he's the one you ought to praise. He's the one that died for my sins. He came and died for my sin. Rose again the third day for my justification. I'm justified as though I've never sinned. I mean, he justified me, and now he's gone back to sit down to make intercession for me. And not only me, but he's the propitiation. The Jews said he's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Ain't you glad that he come to his own? They wouldn't receive him, but bless God, I'm glad that he knew they wouldn't. I'm glad he had it fixed so they wouldn't. He blinded them so they wouldn't. He put them out so they wouldn't, so I could get in.
Amen.
I heard old Peter Jennings the other night on the TV say, talking to one of them Jews over in Jerusalem, and one of them old Jews said, you know, I feel like every Jew that's ever died is right here with us. Said, we all feel like that over here in Jerusalem. I said, boy, I feel like that over here in Bristol. Bless God, I'm so glad. Ain't you glad? Listen, I'm so glad that God is doing things, you know. And I mean, you say, well, they can't be over there. How do you know they can't? Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones. He didn't see seen valleys. He saw a valley. The whole one valley. Well, you say, how's he going to get the bones over? Don't worry about it. They could come right through this church and you'd never see them. God get them bones in where he wants to. God's bigger than most of us think we, you know. And so he's going to resurrect a valley of dry bones. Well, I got to get off of them dry bones because I don't want you to get dry listening to the bones. And the Lord is a man of war. Well, ain't a part about that. I had some woman come by here today and say, well, you know, we ought to get together. Well, there ain't no way you can get together unless everybody gets saved.
Amen.
My God, you can't get together with a bunch of heathens and a bunch of... I mean, forget about it. I ain't going to get together with them. They're going to have to get together with God And if they get saved, I can get together with them. I can't have fellowship if everybody comes by. I mean, if a man comes by and he got God on him, me and him can get together. But if some dude comes by and tells me Jesus ain't the Son of God, he can get out. But if he talks too long, I'll run him out. You say, you ain't like God, but he's a man of war. I can start one if he can. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captain also was drowned in the Red Sea. Well, he just had the wind to blow. Verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them, and they sink as lead in the mighty waters. Man, I mean. Now, old Moses, I got to hurry. Boy, I'd like to have time to preach on this. They went over there and they got over there and they got into the verse 22. And Moses brought Israel out of the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, out as they went in 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. 3 days without water. But thank God they finally found some. On the third day. Hey, you hear what I mean? The third day is a resurrection, that place. They found some water, but it was bitter. Then they said, well, we can't drink this water. He said, okay, here's a tree. Give me that tree. And he stuck the tree in the water, and that made it sweet. You know what happened? When the cross appears and the resurrection takes place and everything happens, I mean the water's sweet, bless God. When Calvary comes by, you come to Calvary, get the old rugged cross, put it in the water, put the Lamb of God there, you got everything you need. And they started journeying on, complaining, but still journeying. They said, well, we don't have no water. Well, they got some. And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. Now verse 27, I've got to quit. And they went to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. How many come up there? 12 tribes of Israel, and every tribe had a well. They come up there and they found 70 palm trees in a wilderness. 12 wells of water. And every tribe had his own well. And every tribe could sit under the palm trees, there's 70 of them. You know, Jesus called out 12 men and then he called out 70 in the New Testament.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.